नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं
चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं
सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो
जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैषकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च साक्षात् भगवत् प्रणीतम् न वै विदुर्ऋषयो नापि देवाः न सिद्धमुख्या असुरा मनुष्याः कुतो न विद्याधरचारणा साक्षात् भगवत् प्रणीतम् न वै विदुर्ऋषयो नापि देवाः न सिद्धमुख्या असुरा मनुष्याः कुतो नु विद्याधरचारणा भगवत् प्रणीतम् न वै विदुर्ऋषयो नापि देवाः न सिद्धमुख्या असुरा मनुष्याः कुतो नु विद्याधरचारणादयः
Real religious principles are bona fide laws of religion. Two, but sakshat, directly, bhagavat, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pranitam, enacted, na, not, why, indeed, viduhu, they know. Rishayata, the great Rishi such as Bhru, na, not, api, also, devaha, the demigods, na, not, siddha mukhyaha, the chief leaders of Siddhaloka, asuraha, the demons, manushyaha, the inhabitants of Bhurloka, the human beings. Kutaha, where, nu, indeed, vidyadhara, the lesser demigods known as vidyadharas. Charana, the residents of the planets where people, are by nature great musicians
and singers.
Adayaha
and so on.
Translation and performed by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles. Nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddhaloka, to say nothing of the asuras, ordinary human beings, vidyadharas and charanas. When challenged by the Vishnu Dutas to describe the principles of the religion, the Yamadutas said, Veda pranihito dharmaha. The religious principles are the principles enacted by the Vedic literature. They did not know, however, that the Vedic literature contains ritualistic ceremonies that are not transcendental, but are meant to keep pace and order among materialistic persons in the material world. Real religious principles are nistraigunya, about the three modes of the material nature, or transcendental. The Yamadutas did not know these transcendental religious principles, and therefore, when prevented from arresting Ajamila, they were surprised. Materialistic persons who attach all their faith to the Vedic rituals are described in the Bhagavad Gita 2.42, wherein Krishna says, Vedavadarathaha parthananyat astiti vadinaha. The supposed followers of the Vedas say that there is nothing beyond the Vedic ceremonies. Indeed, there is a group of men in India who are very fond of the Vedic rituals, not understanding the meaning of these rituals, which are intended to elevate one gradually to the transcendental platform of knowing Krishna. Vedaishta sarvai ahameva vidya. Those who do not know this principle, but who simply attach their faith to the Vedic rituals, are called Vedavadarataha. Herein it is stated that the real religious principle is that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That principle is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. One should give up all other duties and surrender unto the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the real religious principle everyone should follow. Even though one follows Vedic scriptures, one may not know this transcendental principle, for it is not known to everyone. To say nothing of human beings, even the demigods in the upper planetary systems are unaware of it. This transcendental religious principle must be understood from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, or from His special representative, as stated in the next verses. Om Ajnana Tibirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuvam Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhu Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo
Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, welcome all of you for today's discussion. This is a very famous verse. Prabhupada has quoted it so many times, and senior Vaishnavas have quoted it many, many times. So it's been my fortune to even read this and speak about it. So, before even we start discussing, I would like to mention that Srimad Bhagavatam is so glorious that when was Srimad Bhagavatam written? By Veda Vyasa? Was it the first Purana or the last Purana? It was the last. But what's interesting, in the Agni Purana, when Veda Vyasa was writing Agni Purana, there actually Veda Vyasa already mentioned Srimad Bhagavatam. He writes, Arthoyam Brahma Sutranam Bharatartha Vinirnayaha Gayatri Bhashya Rupasau Vedartha Paribrimitaha Grantho Shodasha Sahasrashaha Srimad Bhagavatadina Bhagavatadivitaha. So Krishna, Veda Vyasa is writing the glories of Bhagavatam in the Agni Purana itself. He says, Arthoyam Brahma Sutranam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the culmination of Brahma Sutras. Arthoyam, the entire meaning of Brahma Sutra is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bharatartha Vinirnayaha. Nirnaya means Mahabharata. Mahabharata also is an assembly of the entire Vedic knowledge, is Mahabharata. That is why Bhagavad Gita is a part of Mahabharata. So the Nirnaya means the ultimatum of Mahabharata is written in Bhagavatam. Gayatri Bhashya Rupasau. The language that is used in Srimad Bhagavatam, that's why you will find it amazing. Sometimes when you read Bhagavad Gita, the Sanskritam is very easy to understand. But the Sanskritam in Bhagavatam is a little difficult. The words are never heard of. In fact, there are certain words in Bhagavatam which is never used in any Vedas, any Puranas. Those are the words used. So they are exquisite or explicitly used in Bhagavatam. Why? Because this is Gayatri Bhashav. Veda Vyasa says, this is written in the Gayatri Bhashav. Vedartha Paribhrimita. It is, in English they use the word brim. What is brim? Up to the surface, filled. It's coming from Sanskrit. Paribhrimita. It is filled with Vedartha. It is meant by the culmination of Vedas. Grantho Shodasha Sahasrashaha. Means it is containing Shodasha Sahasrashaha. It is containing how many verses? Ashtadasha, sorry, not Shodasha. Grantho Ashtadasha Sahasrashaha. So he's saying 18,000 verses. So he's already introducing 18,000 verses in the Agni Purana. So Veda Vyasa says about this. So therefore we have to understand what Yama Dharmaraja is telling or preaching to the Yamadutas is actually a culmination of the entire Vedic literature. So therefore, that is why Bhagavatam is so glorious. And Veda Vyasa has already said in the Agni Purana that this will contain Ashtadasha Sahasrashaha, 18,000 verses. And it will be called as Srimad Bhagavatadi. Now, what we are seeing in this section is confusion of the Yamadutas. Because Yamadutas had gone to pick up Ajamila because he's a sinful person. And they were stopped by four authorities, beautiful looking authorities. But they knew when they asked, so it was given in the first chapter, if you see the first chapter of this canto, there is an interaction between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yamadutas. And when the Yamadutas are stopped by the Vishnu Dutas, the Vishnu Dutas ask them, do you know what is Vedic principles and what is not? You have come and caught the wrong person. So then the Yamadutas actually explain, and that's what Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Yamadut uchuhu veda pranihito dharmo hi adharmas tad viparyayaha vedo narayana sakshat svayambhur iti sushruma. They are saying that veda pranihito dharmo and they are sakshat narayana. So the Yamadutas knew that Vedas are sakshat narayana. But there is a problem here. That's why Prabhupada mentions about Veda Vadarata. That is why
there is confusion. Confusion with by the demigods, confusion by the Yamadutas, and the confusion continues eternally. Even water talk of humans, Manushyaha from the whole workers. The confusion is, they thought Vedas are Narayana Sakshat, but they thought Narayana is just to apply the Vedas. Our boss, who is Yamaraj, is still the ultimate boss. So the job of Narayana is to apply the Vedic principles. So therefore he set the framework. He's almost like the operational manager, COO, operational executive of the world, of the cosmos. But the ultimate decisive authority is my boss, who is Yamaraj. Because he is the one who punishes and who awards. Yamaraj does both things, you see. Yamaraj doesn't only punish sinful souls, but pious souls also come to him. They are sent to heaven and the sinful souls are sent to the hell. So he does this judgment. So they were thinking that my boss is the biggest boss because he's the one he's the ultimate decisive authority. But they have a confusion here because they are seeing Vedas merely as a ritualistic book. This is the problem. When we see Vedas as just a book and reading, understanding it by reading the sections and clauses and understanding it theoretically, we cannot understand the ultimate purpose of the Vedas. Vedartha Nirnayaha, that is what Srimad Bhagavatam was. And what has happened here, when they returned back, they were very angry. So when Devamrita Maharaj also was saying, actually when they came, they were very angry. How come they stopped us? We were about to catch this person. He was a mujrim, he was a convict. We had to catch, but these people came and stopped us. So it seems like we don't have, they cut the rope. You know, they had put a noose around this guy and they cut the rope. They said, you're not supposed to catch him. Can you please, there's a door. They were shown the door. So they were very angry. How come we didn't have any authority to stop these guys? So they were angry and questioning. It is said in Vishnu Purana that Yamadutas when he came to know about the issue, he calls them nearby and he starts mentioning to them in the ear. Because it seems that Yamaraj himself was very afraid that what his disciples have done is actually a mistake. So he might have been bereft of his seat if the Lord comes to know about his mistake. You see, he is gone and taught a devotee who chanted the names of the Lord. So Yamadutas said, it is said that he whispered to the Yamadutas that why did you even go there? You are not supposed to go there. Why were you in that compound? You are not even supposed to step into the compound. So what is happening now? That there is a Srimad Bhagavatam class happening. There, Yamaraj is giving a Bhagavatam class to the Yamadutas now. So let me explain to you who is the real boss. And they had asked this in the 10th verse. Now we are reading 19. In the 10th verse also they had asked this question to say, we want to know who is the boss. We want to know who is the ultimate authority. It seems that your authority doesn't work anymore. These four people were seemingly higher than your authority. So please explain to us. Now, this confusion of the Yamadutas, if you really see, Prabhupada has written, there is a book called Dharma also. There is a small book called Dharma, if you read it. There is always a confusion between what is Dharma and what is Adharma. See, Adharma, there is only one type of Adharma. Anything that is not done according to the scriptural injunction, that is Adharma. But Dharma, again there are two types, two classifications of Dharma. Under Dharma itself there are two. Prabhupada classifies one as Swadharma and one as Paradharma or Paradharma. Swadharma means that which is relevant to me. Now, when I say Dharma means, again, the term Dharma itself is very interesting because Dharma has so many connotations to it. Dharma means the goal of life. Dharma means the activities one has to do. Dharma means Dharma means my responsibility or my social duty. Dharma also means religion in today's parlance. Dharma also means religiosity. So there are so many connotations to this term Dharma. So all of these connotations come under the classification of Swadharma. What is Swadharma? Swadharma means in whatever circumstance and social framework I have got a specific duty to perform. That is my Swadharma. For example, if there are children here going to school, they are chhatra, they are students. So therefore, they execute chhatra dharma or shishya dharma. You see, chhatra is very interesting. Chhatra is chhatra chaya, they say. Chhatra means one who is under the shelter of a spiritual master. That's why it's called chhatra in English, in Hindi. See, the words also have very deep etymology. So the students have their dharma, the parents have their dharma, and as a boy, I had a different dharma. As a parent, I have a different dharma. As a vritha, I have a different dharma. As an Australian, I have a different dharma. So see, the dharma or the swadharma changes based on my social setting. But there is a dharma which doesn't change, which is called paradharma. Now what is that dharma? So the whole idea is that everybody is confused between these two dharmas only. What is paradharma and what is swadharma? That is the whole crux of the understanding, and that is what the Yamadutas are also confused about. Even though they are the knower of the Vedas. So here, so the question and answer session is going on. So they ask the question to Yamraj, Tamste Vedikum Ichhamo Yadino Manyase Kshamam Narayanatyeti Abhihiyate Mabhay Iti Ayayurjutam. As soon as the sinful Ajamila uttered the name Narayana, these four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, "Do not fear, we are there. And we wish to know about your lordship if you think we are able to understand. Kindly describe us about them." We see this current confusion is continuing even today. We have so many dharmas. We have Muslim dharma, Islam dharma, Hindu dharma, Sikh dharma, Jain dharma. There is constant fight. Who is the greatest? Which is the greatest dharma? My dharma is the greatest. Your dharma is the greatest. If you don't worship Lord Ganapati, then you are abandoned. If you don't worship Vishnu, you are abandoned. If you don't worship Krishna. So there is always a paraspar fight. There is contradictions between all of these dharmas. And even in the so-called material existence, there is a dharma of a boss, there is dharma of an employee. The boss has to do his dharma to make the employee work like anything, work like a donkey. But the donkey employee also thinks, how come this guy is making me work, so let me cheat him in some way. So there is paraspar contradictions of the swadharma going on in this material world as well. Take for example, Shastra say, well, Hindu dharma says, cow killing is adharma. But the so-called Islam dharma says, cow killing is dharma. Kill the cows. There is confusion. Everywhere there is a confusion. Whether the confusion is in the scriptures, or whether the confusion is in the minds of the pursuers of those scriptures, that is not. That is the problem. What to talk of disparate dharmas? Even the pursuers of Vedas, they also do not know what is dharma and what is adharma. We see in the example where Krishna had a pastime. When Krishna and Gopas were hungry, Krishna said, "Can you go to the Brahmana's house and get some food?" And the Gopas go to the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas are doing Vedic sacrifices. And the Gopas say, "Krishna and Balram are here, we are all with them, we are hungry, can you please send us some food?" The Brahmanas get very angry. "The rituals are not finished, we have not done the Purnahuti, the final oblations into the fire, and you have come to ask the food? Get lost! Don't come until everything is done. When the prasadam is, when we call, ring the bell, you can come and then sit in the thing, then we will serve you prasadam. Not now, get lost." You see? And then when they go back to Krishna, they say, the Brahmanas drove us back. "Krishna, you told us they'll give us food." Krishna said, "By the way, where did you go?" We said, "We went to the Brahmanas." Then Krishna says, "No, that's a mistake you did. I told you to go to the house and ask it from the gopis, the Brahmanas' wives. Not the Brahmanas. You did the wrong thing. You went to the Brahmanas. Now you go and ask them to the wives of the Brahmanas." So then Krishna, Gopas again go and ask the wives of the Brahmanas. The moment the wives of Brahmanas hear Krishna is hungry, everything in the house was emptied. They gave up everything to Krishna and the Gopas, and they happily came back. You see, here there are Brahmanas who are executing according to the scriptural injunction Vedic sacrifices, but they do not know what is the purpose of those sacrifices. Because following dharma, it is just not mere activity. That is why Prabhupada did not call this movement Society of Krishna Bhaktas. He called it Society of Krishna Consciousness. So that is why it is not the activity which we do that is important, but the consciousness with which any activity is done. The purpose of that activity is very important. Here the Brahmanas did not know the purpose of the activity. They were doing the Vedic rituals. Krishna asked the oblations. He personally has sent, "Now give me your oblations, that will complete your yajna." But they did not understand. They thought putting it in the fire was the completion of the yajna. So even the followers of the Vedas do not know what is right, what is wrong. That is why Chaitanya Charitamrita Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Dvaite bhadra bhadra jnana sava manodharma yei bhalaye mandaye sava brahma. He says, whatever one follows as dharma in this material world, it is all yei manodharma, sava manodharma. Manodharma means what? Everybody is following according to their mental concoction, full stop. Why? Because even the people who are studying scriptures, most of the times, we do not know what the scripture is trying to tell us. We only take what we want to understand from the scriptures. Think about it. When we read the scripture, I will read, but understanding is based on my capacity to understand. So I only understand what I want to understand, not what the scriptures want to tell me. That's very important. So one has to become blind before they read this, or one has to take the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That's why we say Om Ajnana Nivarandas. Yesterday, Anirudh Prabhu was mentioning that blank, one has to be blank. Om, I am from the darkest ignorance. If I don't position myself in that position, I will not, the scriptures do not reveal to me. So therefore, that is the problem about the scriptures. Again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes, actually, all the scriptures are telling only one thing. What is that? What is that one thing that the scriptures, be it Vedas, Mahabharata, Puranas, Itihasas, Pancharatras, everything is telling about one thing only. What is that one thing?
Devotional service.
Correct. About Hari Sarvatra Giyate. Vede cha Ramayane cha iva Purane Bharata Bharate tatha Adau Antye cha Madhye cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. Everything is talking about Hari only. But the problem is, all other scriptures, except Srimad Bhagavatam, they talk indirectly. They won't give us Krishna directly. They hide it. They hide that for some reason. That's why Krishna says, this knowledge is very, very durlabha. Prabhupada writes here, this is very secretive knowledge. When we say secretive, what do you mean by secretive knowledge? Secretive doesn't mean it is hidden in the cave and locked. Secretive means this knowledge is not accessible either by the body, either by the mind, either by the intelligence. It has to be understood at the level of the spirit, otherwise this knowledge becomes inaccessible. It cannot be accessed just by reading the book. It has to be understood and assimilated at the level of the spirit. So that is the understanding of secret. Secretive doesn't mean that it is written in Morse code that you got to decipher before. That is not secret. Secret means you read it, but you can't understand it. So it has to open up. The scripture has to open up to us. So that is the secret. Now when we do this, if we take a step back and observe the society, you see, one unique thing about the society is, in the same society, we are talking of the same society, we all follow rules, is it not? In the government, His Holiness Devanand Maharaj was mentioning in the class last Sunday that every one of us follow rules, whether we know it or not, we still follow rules. Like we have to follow the driving rules, the speed limits we have to follow. So by hook or crook we have to follow or be under the jurisdiction of the law. We might say we are great, but we are still bound by the law. We can't park here. We don't park beyond 1 hour, you know there is another Yamadutta who will come here typically. $90 fine. See, difficult. We'll come with this machine. So everywhere in the same society, humans follow rules and regulations. That means it is natural for a person to follow rules and regulations, is it not? As a principle, it is true for the same society you have to follow rules. The problem is when we have to follow rules, we do not know what is the real purpose of following these rules. We keep it at a mundane level. We have to elevate it to a paradharma level. Swadharma se le, we are from Swadharma, we have to come to the level of Paradharma. So that is why in the scriptures it is said, real dharma or the real purpose of the dharma we have to understand. Prabhupada says there are two dharmas. Prabhupada classifies it in a different way. Prabhupada classifies the two dharmas are Pashu dharma and Manava dharma. Pashu dharma means Ahara Nidra Bhayamaitunam, one who is just doing activities, eating, sleeping, waiting, depending, and they are leading their life very nicely for keeping these four goals. The next one is Manava dharma or Manushya dharma. Manava means Mana. Mana is a tadbhava of Jnana. Mana means Jnana. Jnana means what? The knowledge about the Lord, the knowledge about the self. Manushya or Manava means one who knows who he is and one who knows what is his purpose of existence. He is a manava, he is a manushya. That is his dharma. That is why the quality of a jiva, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he say? What is the swabhava of the jiva? Jiva is Swarupam Hoy, Krishna Nitya Das. That is our dharma. Prabhupada says dharma means the eternal occupation of a jiva. Now, when you read this line, it's very interesting. Eternal occupation of a jiva. What does it mean, eternal occupation? What do you mean by eternal occupation? Yes, Guru.
Hare Krishna.
But what do you mean by eternal occupation?
Serving, service.
But what is the meaning of eternal? Eternal means that which doesn't change. So we saw Swadharma, that changes when I was a student, student dharma. When I'm married, it is Pati dharma, Patni dharma, Grihastha dharma, Sannyasa dharma. There are so many dharmas in this material world and it changes all the time. But eternal means that which doesn't change at any point in time. It is dynamic, but at the same time constant. So it is eternal. That's what the meaning of eternal means. Is it not? So the dharma is eternal dharma. And Prabhupada says that dharma doesn't change. For example, Prabhupada gives always this example of sugar. The dharma of sugar is what? To taste sweet. At any point in time, does the sugar taste bitter? Only when I am diseased, it tastes bitter. But sugar in its natural state is never bitter. Is it not? Water is always liquid in state. So dharma is to be liquid. Is it not? When you put it in the fridge in an unnatural environment, it solidifies. So, like that, every jiva has a natural dharma. That dharma is what? Savai kumsam paro dharmo yatho bhaktir adhokshate. What is the next line? Ahaituki apratihata yatma suprasihati. Yato bhakti adhoshade, that is the parodharma. To come to the fact that to do devotional service to the Lord, that is the ultimate dharma of any jiva. This is also called as Bhagavata dharma. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu classified this goal of a jiva to be the panchama purusharatha. As I said, dharma also is a goal of a human existence. You see, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. There are four human ends, or purusharatha it is called as. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, these are none of our business. Our business is bhakti. So therefore, bhakti becomes a panchama purusha. Our goal is to come to the platform of yato bhakti adhokshaje. Bhakti adhokshaje. To the adhokshaje, we should do bhakti. That is the goal of human existence. Loving devotional service to the Lord. So that is why this is called as topmost dharma or paradharma or bhagavata dharma. This dharma is there in the scriptures, but it is clearly mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam actually rejects all religions just in the second verse of the Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Dharma prochita kaita vatra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Dharma prochita kaita vatra paramo. Kaitava religion means that which is materially motivated. What do you mean by materially motivated? That which has the aham maneti principle in it. I am a pati of someone, I am a son of someone, I am a citizen of a country. All this is materially motivated because it's related to my body. And Bhagavatam says it rejects all of that. Nirmat parama nirmat sarana. Who can know this? Only the saints can know this. That's why Krishna says the ultimate, what should you do? Sarva dharma anuparit yajyamani kam sharanam vraja. Krishna says this. So this is the ultimate religion. Actually, this is the ultimate, well, religion is another most hated term these days. But religion means the original occupation of the jiva. Religio, it comes from the root word religio, means to connect. So therefore, this Bhagavata dharma is very important to understand. But the problem is, this verse says, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The problem now is confusion. What is that paradharma? Even coming to the point of Bhagavata dharma, we have confusions. What is that? Many times, even the people who study scriptures, they do not understand why Krishna lies. Why did Krishna ask Yudhishthira Maharaj to lie? Yudhishthira Maharaj is Dharmaraj himself. He says to kill Dronacharya, he says Ashwatthama Hatara. Just go and say Ashwatthama has been killed. Now Yudhishthira Maharaj is now in Dharma Sankat, it is called. Dharma Sankat means he is in a very difficult situation. is an ironical situation. Oh my God, I am not supposed to lie, but here is Krishna who is asking me to lie. But we have to understand, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam means the Lord, whatever the Lord enacts, is dharma. We have to understand this. Now let's understand this episode. Krishna asking Yudhishthira Maharaj to go and say, Ashwatthamahatah, go and say, Ashwatthamahatah, Dronacharya. Is that dharma or adharma? It is dharma. From a mundane perspective, does it look adharma or dharma?
Adharma.
Why does it say adharma? Because Ashwatthama was not killed. Is it not? Huh? Now, think about it. I'll give you another example. You have travelled a long distance from Mayapur to Vrindavan, let's say for example. And you have drove your car from Mayapur to Vrindavan. How many hours does it take? Perhaps 24 hours to drive. You have reached Vrindavan in the middle of the night to a devotee's house. Okay? You knocked on the door and the devotee opened and he has to wake up early 3 a.m. in the morning. Or you disturb to sleep at 12 a.m. in the morning. It's Hare Krishna Prabhu, I got delayed, sorry Prabhuji. And then the devotee says, oh Prabhuji, you have come from Mayapur, please, please come. Did you have dinner? Actually, you did not have dinner. Now, will you remain at a mundane level to say, no Prabhuji, I did not have dinner. Or will you say, no Prabhuji, I had good dinner Prabhuji. I had packed dinner, I had sumptuous dinner. I just want to go and sleep now. Is it dharma or adharma to lie? You lied to the Brajvasi that you had dinner, but you did not have dinner. What is dharma? It is problem now, isn't it? If you speak the truth, you are putting him into difficulty. If you speak a lie, that means you are actually breaking the principles of dharma. So what is dharma? What is adharma then? What is dharma?
Consciousness.
So what was the consciousness? To not trouble the Brajvasi takes a higher precedence. So therefore, it is just not mere speaking the truth in dharma, just not speaking the truth, just doing good activities. That is not dharma. What is the intent of that activity, of speaking that for the lie? That is dharma. Krishna defines this. So that is why understanding dharma is very difficult. It's not so straightforward. It's just not love thy neighbor, don't throw stones at the neighbors who have glass. It's not so. In fact, the dictat given in Christianity, love thy neighbor. People think just go and love your neighbor. That is not the dictat. If they go deep, loving neighbor is more difficult than loving a person who is very far away. Loving a person who is very far away is very easy. Very difficult to love the neighbor, you see. Very difficult, because that is where the fight erupts, because he is staying next door. Loving devotee outside is very easy. Loving the children and wife at home is very difficult. Always fights. That is why we say, Vaishnava Apra doesn't happen in the temple. It happens at home. Be careful. We think Vaishnava Apra means at home, wife and husband. That's why you have to be careful. So, we have to understand what is dharma and adharma here. Krishna is saying, in Yudhishthira's case, it was dharma. Why was it dharma? Because Krishna is not seeing Dronacharya. For Krishna, he is a jiva. Dronacharya is a jiva in a body of an old man. So here is a jiva who is taken a vow to kill 10,000 soldiers every day. You know, Dronacharya has taken a vow. If I don't kill Arjuna, I will finish 10,000 soldiers every day. Huh? So here is a jiva who is fighting on the adharma side, on Kaurava's side, Duryodhana's side, first of all. Huh? Negative point for that. Second negative point is, he's massacring 10,000 soldiers, and he's taken a vow. At this age, he's committing so many sins. He's amassing life after life. He's going to take another 100 births for this. So let me complete this, remove the body and give him another body. That was what Krishna's intent was. So you go and tell him, Ashwat. And the third problem of Dronacharya was attached to his son. Aham mameti principle. So here is a Brahmana of the highest class. Dronacharya was a very high class Brahmana. But because of one selfish reason, you know, Ashwatthama did not have milk, he went and joined the Kaurava for salary. And now he's become a good employee for the Kauravas. And here he is now massacring people. So let me take out that old body of Dronacharya and give him a good body where he can continue his sharana. That is what Krishna's intent was. But Yudhishthira was thinking, oh, it's going to break my vow of being truthful. How will I do that? You see? So therefore, even Yudhishthira, of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj is very exalted devotee, but the episode in Mahabharata teaches us a lesson that even that's what this verse is talking about. Navai Vidhur Rishayo Napi Deva. Another name for Dharmaraj is Vidur. No, Vidur? Vidur also is Dharmaraj. Vidvat Rataha Iti Vidura. One who sits on the Vidvat of the culmination of the scriptures. Vidvat means wisdom, is called Vidura. Is another name for Dharmaraj. Yudhishthira also is Dharmaraj. So he knew the entire culmination of the scriptures. Even he can fall into difficulty to ascertain what's Dharma and Adharma. It's so difficult. Why? Because it's enacted by the principles of the Lord. It is enacted by him. Sakshat Bhagavat Pranita. Very difficult to understand. So therefore, what should we do? We should do what Krishna Arjuna did in the Bhagavad Gita. He was also confused. I am a Kshatriya. Should I do my Kshatriya Dharma? Or I am a Vaishnava. Should I do my Vaishnava Dharma? Go and chant in the forest. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I will go and chant Arjuna, Krishna. Please let me go. He's telling this. So there is always this confusion. So that's why it's very difficult to understand the Dharma of the Lord and also to understand what the devotees of the Lord do. When Prabhupada came to the Western world, he got his disciples married. He was cooking. Sannyasis are not even supposed to cook. You know that? They are niradhikas. Niradhikas means they live on bhiksha. If somebody gives them prasadam, they eat. Otherwise, they don't eat. They don't cook. They don't have any business with the fire. They are called niradhikas. But Prabhupada used to cook. Prabhupada used to offer. Prabhupada used to get their disciples married. So, all of what Prabhupada did was not they couldn't comprehend. Mundaners couldn't comprehend. But because he was the topmost Bhagavata, because he was following Bhagavata Dharma, the mundane religious principles of becoming Niradhika did not apply anymore, because he was doing for what? Samsiddhir, Atah Kumbhir Vijashreshta, Varnashrama Vibhagashaha, Swanushtikasya Dharmasya, Samsiddhir, Hari Dosh. The purpose is to please Hari. Doesn't matter if I have to break some laws or rules. That is the purpose. So the consciousness is very important. I'll tell another simple story. In Vrindavan, there was a devotee called Govindadas. Now this devotee was in a very exalted consciousness. Very exalted consciousness. So one day, while doing Govardhan Parikrama, Govindadas was doing Govardhan Parikrama, and suddenly he turns towards Govardhan and passes water. Now all the devotees get bewildered. My God, you're passing water in front of Govardhan? And they go and complain to the spiritual master. Maharaj, I saw Govindadas doing this. What has happened to him? He's gone mad. In front of Govardhan, he's passing water. This is very offensive, Maharaj. Please summon him and teach him a lesson. We can't do parikrama with you. So they call Govindadas. Now Govindadas was in such an exalted state of consciousness that many a times he is not even aware of his own body. He goes without eating food for weeks and days together. He was in that consciousness. So Maharaj was in doubt. Govindadas cannot do this. Govinda, can you come here? Yes, Maharaj. Please explain my humble obeisances. Is it true what I have heard? Then Govinda says, what did you hear, Maharaj? That you passed water in front of Govardhan Giri? What is this I am hearing? Govinda says, is this how Vaishnava behaves? Govindadas starts laughing. No, Maharaj. You know, then he starts speaking in Ekavachana. You know that guy was sitting on my... He is addressing Krishna. Okay? That's how he speaks. That guy was sitting on my back and he wants me to become a horse. And I was his horse and I was doing parikrama and he was also sitting on my back. So he was doing it in a very strange way. So he was sitting on his back. Krishna was sitting on his back. So that's what his consciousness was. And he was the horse for Krishna. So I told him that I have to pass water, Krishna. Get down. He didn't get down. He said, you are a horse. Pass like a horse. So I passed like a horse, Maharaj. I was a horse then. I was not a Vaishnava, you see. I was an animal. So that was his conscience. So sometimes in the Braj Bhumi, that's why we have to be very careful when you go to Vrindavan. Devotees there are in a different... That's why we have to interact with the Brajvas only to the level we can understand and comprehend. Otherwise, don't interact too much because we do not know what consciousness level they are in. Completely out of body consciousness. Yes, of course, it is not right from a regulative principles perspective. Of course, we come from the preaching movement, so we can't act like Sahaji as in one sense. But this, I just gave you an example. It's very difficult to understand Bhagavata Dharma or Bhagavata Dharma. Very difficult. So what is the what is the then, what is the culmination of it then? How do we understand? A few, maybe a month ago, I was speaking on the pastime of Bhishma Dev, passing away of Bhishma Dev, and how Bhishma Dev was the Gandharva in his previous life. And Balwant Rupert asked me a question, was he a pure devotee or not? I had a doubt myself, because if he was not a pure devotee, how come Krishna himself came to him when he was on the deathbed? Huh? So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura actually brings the understanding of this tattva. That Bhishma Dev, inside Bhishma Dev there are two jivas. One was a Gandharva and one was a pure devotee of the Lord. Huh? So when the Lord came, when Bhishma Dev passed away, he went back to his Parthasarthi Loka. Bhishma Dev was that devotee, or that jiva who went back to Parthasarthi Loka was the devotee. And the Gandharva goes back to Gandharva Loka. So there are two jivas inside. So therefore, no doubt Bhishma Dev was a pure devotee of the Lord. But it was not the Gandharva, it was the other devotee. It was the real Bhishma Dev. So we have gone, so it's quite intricate. So therefore, we have to understand these tattvas in the Puranas are sometimes difficult to comprehend. And the only way to understand them is the path that Arjuna takes. What does Arjuna take? Karpanya dosho pahatasva bhavaha prachamitvam dharma sammoda cheta. Dharma sammoda cheta. My cheta, my chitta is not able to understand what is my dharma. Sammoda means sammuk. Just come in front of me, I cannot ascertain what is my duty, what is not my duty. Krishna. Prichamitvam dharma sammura cheta. Yet shreyasyam. What is the shreyas for me? What is good for me? You please tell me. Yashreyasyam nischitam bhruvitanme shishyasteham sadhi mam tvam prapanyam. I surrender unto you, Krishna. Please explain to me what is right and what is wrong. So for that, we have to take the instructions from whom is coming in the next verse. Who are the Mahajans? Who, the spiritual master, enunciates the principle of dharma. What is the ultimate dharma was given to us by whom? By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he came 500 years ago, he said, everything will become clear if you do just one thing. And what is that one thing? Chant the holy name of the Lord. The moment if somebody chants the holy name of the Lord, that is what opens up the secrets of the scriptures, opens the secrets of the dharma. The devotee doesn't even have to contemplate whether something is dharma, whether something is adharma. Whatever the devotee does will become dharma. For example, when Valmiki, you know the story of Valmiki Muni? When the two birds were there and the hunter killed the bird, Valmiki curses the hunter, you see. Then for a moment he curses the hunter, let the hunter be killed, you know. That's what he thought he is cursing. But then Brahmaji comes and glorifies Valmiki. Oh, what a glorious verse. Valmiki says, Brahmaji, I actually cursed the hunter. And you are saying it's a glorious verse? No, you didn't curse the hunter. This is the verse paving the way for the glorious scripture Ramayana. So, even unknowingly the curse also is a glorification of the Lord. So, unknowingly also a devotee cannot curse. Unknowingly also a devotee cannot speak ill about someone. Why? Because he is always guided by the vibrations of the holy name. So therefore, holy name has this potency. Etavan sankhya yogabhyam swadharma parinishkaya ante narayana smriti. That's what Ajamila, the whole chapter if you see, is about that. How Ajamila was protected by chanting the holy name of the Lord. How powerful this holy name is. One does not have to endeavor too much to understand dharma and adharma. Just by chanting the names, things can get very clear. So, I'll stop here. So, that is the whole crux of this verse. How I understood is, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. To ascertain, I'll just summarize. It's very difficult, especially for the embodied jiva, to ascertain what is dharma and what is adharma. But it becomes very easy and very clear when we follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, when we chant the holy name, when we serve the devotees, when they give us instructions, it becomes very clear. When we accept those instructions as our guardians. Therefore, otherwise, it is not even understood by such exalted personalities. Na siddha mukhya asura manushyata kuto no vidhyadara charanadaya. If those people cannot understand what to talk, we are mortals like us. So that's the understanding of this verse. So I'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments? Yes, I'll repeat the question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for a profound, nice lecture. Ante Nara Smati and Hare Krishna, two important things you highlighted. I've got one question in my mind. In Panchatattva, Gadadhar Pandit is there, see, next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Gadadhar Pandit, why he has to be there in Panchatattva? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. So why actually he has to come into Panchatattva? Here is my question.
Yeah, there is my little understanding.
The additional one person.
Yeah. Our whole movement is based on. You have to probably switch off that.
Although it's not related to the sister analysis. My little understanding, our movement is based on one main thing, which is called seva. So Gadadhar manifests in the Panchatattva to do the seva while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is absorbed in the mood of Radha and Krishna. So Gadadhar Pandit is there to do seva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, there's one answer.
Let's go. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna.
Yes.
And the eternal potential.
Yes.
So even though Gadadhar is Lord Chaitanya is in the mode of Radha, he's still Krishna. So it's a fairly obvious one. Yep. Gadadhar's there. He's the eternal potential.
So he comes to self-creation. She comes to self-creation.
Actually, what I heard from Lord Govinda, lecture, that Gadadhar Pandit is asking Mahaprabhu, please give me that, my mood and my color.
Yes.
He wants back, because he is in so much ecstasy in Mahaprabhu.
Yeah. Yeah. Radha Krishna and they're not separate, but he is there in the mood of Radha Krishna.
And color.
And color.
Golden color.
Where is Prabhupada outside there?
Sorry, Prabhupada.
Where is Prabhupada outside there?
Prabhupada was mentioning about Lal Govind.
Lal Govind is this. Lal Govind is the disciple. And he tells so many nice things, which we are not. So he must have some from Shastra.
And many of them will get a village in Shri Prabhupada. One of the
Prabhu, in this Prabhupada is saying that even the demigods are not aware of this religious principles and the position of the Lord. So how to understand that? How did they got that position of a demigod without knowing all this?
Now the position of a devata could be various, right? A devata also could be like, we could go to the devata loka, you could go become a vidyadhara or a charana or you could become a gandharva. The devata loka is there for, in one sense, to expire our pious credits. It doesn't mean they are on the paradharma level. Paradharma means that which is the spiritual level or a transcendental level. But at the same time, it doesn't mean all demigods. It means that all demigods don't understand. Doesn't mean that. What it means is, even though if someone goes and becomes a devata, it doesn't mean that he will be revealed the Bhagavad principles or the Bhagavad Dharma. One can still be a devata and not be a Bhagavata. That's the understanding. But that doesn't mean all devatas do not understand the principles. That's one way of understanding. Second principle to understand is, this Bhagavata Dharma is not available for anyone who is not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God. That is the understanding. For example, in our sampradaya, if you really see, Brahmadev is a devata, is a demigod in one sense. But he is our acharya. So does he understand the religious principles? Of course he understands the religious principles, but they never claim that we understand the religious principles. Because it's never easy to understand
the entirety of the religious principles in full. Does it make sense? So when Vamadeva came, as in Indra's Deva, as in Upendra, everybody thought what was dharma, what was adharma. They could ascertain, but they did not know when the Lord Himself has come, Indradev wanted his position back. But in fact, he could have asked something better. So Devatas sometimes get bewildered because of the opulence that they are in and because they get carried away sometimes. So therefore, the understanding is not all Devatas are Bhagavatas, but at the same time, there are Devatas who are exalted personalities like Yamraj, which we will see in the next verse actually, where we talk about 12 Mahajans. In fact, if you see Bhishma also is one of the Mahajans. He is a Gandharva in that sense. So he is also a Devata in that sense. But there he is a Mahajan, he is a devotee. So what it means is, unless one comes to the point of surrendering to the Lord, Sarvadharmam Parityaja, that I am not a Devata, I am not a demigod, but I am a sold out servant of the Supreme Lord, one cannot understand the Bhagavad Dharma so easily. That is how I understood it from it. If they remain at the Vedavada Rathapa, if they remain under the ritualistic understanding of the Shastras, they will still be under the three modes of material nature. Krishna and the principles of Paradharma can only be understood who is beyond the three modes of material nature, which is Shuddha Sattva. Until then, this will not be revealed to such person as this. That's my understanding.
Yes.
Prabhuji, every day I want to chant when I wake up, but I can't, I don't feel like chanting. How can I chant attentively?
Can you switch that off? Okay, the question is, every day I want to chant.
So, we spoke about this here today. It is called as Manodharma, the mind. You see, when you think that you want to chant attentively, just when you ask that question, your mind wants to chant. But when you sit to chant, the same mind says, don't chant, do something else. So that's what the mind does, it tricks you. You see? And then afterwards the mind chastises you. It says, what a bad boy you are, you didn't chant. You should chant. And when you hold the beat, the mind says, you do something better now, don't chant. See? That's what the mind does. So what did Arjuna do? Arjuna also was in that same situation. His mind was confused. Shall I run away from the battle or shall I start fighting? What shall I do? What did Arjuna do? No. What did he do first? He asked Krishna, guide me Krishna. Help me. In the same way, you should also take guidance from Krishna. Before Krishna, who can you take guidance from? You can take guidance from your parents. So ask your parents to help you and tell your dad the previous night that, dad, tomorrow morning I want to chant. Even if my mind tricks, you catch hold of me and make me chant. You see? So he will protect you from your mind, from deviating you from chanting. That's what the devotees do. We take help from other devotees to help us. I also do the same. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
You're happy? Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Yes, Abhay.
What is Parthasarthi Loka?
Parthasarthi Loka. Parthasarthi Loka, I didn't mention because Bhishma Dev always envisioned the Lord in a specific way, and he wanted to see Krishna dress and appear in a specific way. And that way was when Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna. He was sitting as a charioteer of Arjuna, and his face had mud, dirtied with mud and sprinkles of blood in the war field, and he was dirty. So he was Parthasarathi. So and Krishna loved to see Krishna like that. So that is his Ishta Devata. He wants to see Krishna like that, like a warrior. When Krishna marches towards Bhishma, he lifts the wheel of a chariot and marches towards it, just like an elephant marches towards Bhishma. And Bhishma loves it. Wow, look at Krishna, you see. And his chadar is falling down, and Bhishma there is looking at him. And in his beautiful hair, Krishna is called Keshava. His beautiful hair is muddy because of the sand of the war field. And then his beads of sweat is falling down, and Bhishmadeva just loves to see Krishna like that. Like Parthasarathi. So therefore Lord created one specific loka for him. Okay, Parthasarathi loka. You can see me there like that. And there's constant war with Bhishmadeva there. That's what I understand. I might be wrong, but that's what I understand. Does it make sense?
Yes,
Prabhuji. Does it satisfy you?
Yes.
Yes, please.
these different meanings of dharma, if you can just summarize the meaning of the word dharma, you said you need your...
So, dharma has no many connotations. So, dharma means the goal of life. It can also be the purushartha, which is dharmartha kama moksha. Dharma means the religiosity or the activities or the duty one has to do in this, based on this external or internal circumstance, paradharma and swadharma. Dharma also means the intrinsic nature of a spiritual being. So in these ways we can understand different connotations of dharma. It's very, very difficult which one to apply when you have classifications. Dharma, adharma, dharma is swadharma and paradharma.
Dharma is also money for some people.
Dharma is a means of money. Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki Jai.